I promise I have not forgotten the Advent candles. Garcia family, I promise I have not forgotten you. Just in my original order of worship, it was after the message. If we have patience, we'll get there. I have a plan if you can just trust me. I don't know if you can trust me on everything, but that one you can trust me on. But with that, will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. All right, can I start this sermon by telling you about my least favorite part of Christmas? Okay, we're gonna get that one over with and then we'll move into the joy. But my least favorite part of Christmas is wrapping paper. Is there anybody else out there that just all they seem to be able to do is make a mess with wrapping paper? I grew up with my mom, who's excellent at wrapping presents. She even worked in the gift wrap booth at Christmas time for our church. She can make a beautiful present. My grandmother, oh my goodness, she is a whiz with bows. I mean, they're like bows and bows for century, and it looks like it belongs in a store window when she wraps a present. And then there's me, and my children are up in the balcony, and they can laugh at what some of my creations look like because the lines are not crisp, they are not pretty looking, and it seems to me like it is a conspiracy with the toy companies to make the most odd-shaped packages possible, I think to just drive people like me crazy, okay? I mean, there is no logical way of wrapping a basketball now, is there? Volleyball, play ball, you name it, it just looks like a mess as you try to wrap it. And even seeing all of those YouTube videos of ways of wrapping odd-shaped things, they just don't work for me. It looks like a mess. Thankfully, they quickly get opened and the wrapping paper is forgotten. So kids, I haven't wrapped your presents yet, but don't expect perfection, okay? They all have thumbs up. But while I am not very good at wrapping things with paper, as I titled it, The Unjoy of Wrapping Paper, there is something that I do love to wrap. And it's been a long time since I've gotten to wrap one, but I love wrapping up a newborn baby in a blanket. That swaddling phase of a baby is my favorite. Over 2 years ago now is the last time I got to when Miss Becky's granddaughter was born. I got to visit her in the hospital, and after a diaper change that I happened to be in there for, I said, ooh, 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 can I wrap her up? And getting to do that tuck under the arm and wrap it up and just snuggle them so cute. I call them little baby burritos once they're wrapped up. But newborns like to be tight, don't they? I mean, they've been in this tight, squishy space. I mean, I try to see like Phoebe and Philip. My goodness, what that tight little space must have been with two of you in there at once. But they're so used to being in confined space, and that swaddling just gives them comfort. They're not looking for freedom. They're looking for comfort. And so this idea of a swaddled baby struck me as I was rereading this story, the story that we read, the same exact story year after year, but somehow it never gets old. It never gets to the point where it's like, oh, I'd like to hear a different story this Christmas, right? This is the story we wait all year to hear. And I was noticing that nowhere in it does it say that Jesus was wrapped in a blanket. Jesus wasn't wrapped in a receiving blanket, the kind that's white with the blue and pink stripes that the hospital seems to have in every single one of them. But it says he was wrapped in bands of cloth. Now think about this, bands of cloth. I had to go down an internet rabbit hole to explore this idea of these bands of cloths, these swaddling cloths. And what did I discover? But a connection that I had never looked at before. Are you ready for my connection? Because I discovered that here we have Jesus, called to be the Son of God, called to be our Savior, and called to be the Lamb of God. Now, if you look in to the history of swaddling, and you look through biblical histories, what you're gonna find that got swaddled were lambs that were there for sacrifice. Because what did they need to be but pure and spotless? These were lambs that needed to have no imperfections. And so there were Levitical shepherds. You ready for that word? Levitical shepherds, priestly shepherds, who raised these lambs. And when they were born, they immediately wrapped them up in these swaddling bands and would put them in a vessel like a manger while they could check to see if the lamb was pure and spotless and perfect. Now, interestingly enough, where these lambs were raised is just outside of Bethlehem, in a place by the name of Migdal Eder. We all know I'm terrible at reading things in other languages, but Migdal Eder, otherwise known as the Tower of the Flock, this tower that they would watch over the sheep, these sheep that were called to a higher priestly purpose. Now, who was called to come and visit Jesus? Not the elite, right? Not the businessman, not the upper class, but the shepherds. Shepherds who heard about these bands of cloth and most likely would have known about swaddling cloths with these lambs. And how did they identify that baby? But swaddling cloths in an animal's manger. Here Jesus was, right at his birth, wrapped up like a lamb, intended to be sacrificed to God. Well, John the Baptist, if we fast forward, he is the first to declare it. In John's gospel, the first chapter, the 29th verse, it says, "The next day, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming towards him and said, 'Look, the Lamb of God who takes away our sins of the world.'" John the Baptist, who leapt in his mother's womb to say, "Here, the Messiah is with us," upon seeing him, declares him as the Lamb of God, who was wrapped first in swaddling cloths. God swaddled his son in the manger as a humble and symbolic beginning to his life. Why? So that he could swaddle us, hold us, love us, and comfort us without our sins interfering. But here's kind of one of those messy situations, right? As we think about these swaddling cloths of Christmas, in some ways it feels like me trying to wrap a basketball and the unsuccess that comes with it. As here we look at this Christmas celebration, this Christmas package that we have, that we're ready for, but here's this mess that's around it. Pastor, we're not supposed to RSVP for worship. The doors are supposed to be open and the pews full. We're supposed to have a choir. We are definitely not supposed to have plexiglass up in the front. We're not supposed to have reserved signs. We're not supposed to have people having to stay home because they just have a cough. We're not supposed to have things like COVID disrupting an entire family's festive celebrations. It seems like awfully messy wrapping around what's the perfect story of Christmas. But that's the thing about a present, right? No matter how it's wrapped, it's what's inside that matters. And no matter how this Christmas is wrapped, no matter the circumstances that surround it, whether they are perfect or imperfect to the T, what matters is the birth of Christ that comes once again for us with a messy story and a messy world for messy people to make it all clean once again. Tonight, I wish us to give thanks for all of those who made this story possible. Thanks for all of those pieces that fell into place exactly as God had planned them, so that we could have this miraculous story to tell year after year. We should give thanks to Joseph for his obedience to God, even though he had a clean way out. We give thanks to Mary for her faith in God, even when she didn't have faith in herself. We give thanks for the innkeeper who made room when no one else did. We give thanks to the animals who gave up their manger so that baby Jesus would have a place to sleep. We give thanks for the angels for reminding us not to fear and for being the bearers of good news, bringing the glory of the Lord all around them. We give thanks for the shepherds who heard the call and followed it right to the manger to be the first witnesses of the birth of Christ. We give thanks for the Magi who followed the star to Jesus and followed God's call to go home a different way. We give thanks for the good news of Emmanuel, God with us and always with us. I give thanks for all who hear the good news. As I repeat the words of the angel to the shepherds in the fields, my friends, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will be great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. We find Christ again today, first wrapped in the swaddling cloths of the manger, and then in the burial cloths of the tomb, all in love and sacrifice for each and every one of us. What a joyful message to all people, in all places, in all times, and through all circumstances, even the mess of COVID. Will you pray with me? God, we give you thanks for the story of all stories, the story of good news that began in a long ride from Nazareth to Bethlehem, that seemed like the story concluded at the manger with the birth of your son. But a story did not end until he died and rose again for us, for the complete story, the story of your undying love for us, for the distance that you would go to be with us, to be our God, and to be able to dwell and live with and within us. For this story, we give you thanks. May we take time tonight and tomorrow to put this story in our hearts and to make Jesus the center of them with celebration and praise for his birth, his life, his death, and his resurrection. For all this we pray in his precious name. Amen. And now, as Christ is the ultimate gift that we receive on Christmas, at this time, we now think about the gifts that we give back to God in praise of his son, as we have the Jones family and Leah Wolverton with our offertory this evening.